Good morning. As we get a chance to worship together, to study together, I want you to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at starting in verse 26 in just a moment. If you have your bulletins, please open up to that center page, or if you're online, download that was in our link or on our website. There's some things that I want you to write down and take home with you. There's some things that I'm envisioning this as later this week. You are going to have a moment of quiet at your home. And I want some of the things that we're going to talk about today to come back to your mind. I want these notes to lead you through a place of what God is really speaking into our lives. I envision that in just a few days, you are going to be in a place where you're going to be with family, a spouse or children, grandparents, grandchildren, something like that. And I envision you sharing some of these things that you're hearing today. I hope that you will listen and let this really penetrate into your heart and into your mind this morning. I want us to look at a story about the birth of Jesus and maybe look at it in a way that often our world and our culture does not. We're going to be looking at this scene of an angel speaking to Mary. And often our attention is drawn to Mary and her response, the song that comes after, as she gives praise and honor to God for the great blessing of this opportunity. But I want us to hear what God says through this servant, the angel. I want us to hear how that connects in with our lives. And so if you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin there in just a moment. But first, I want to share with you that in our foyer, we're going to have this board out here. This is a good illustration of some of the renovation and plans that are going to be taking place in our auditorium. And you can see the different carpet designs that we have there. They have selected a special kind of carpet that will be in our entryway. It is like a welcome mat, but it's carpet, so it's not going to be sliding off. It's not going to be a trip hazard, but it will be a good way to collect the moisture or debris that might be tracked in, and then some nice other carpet that will go around and lead us into our auditorium. In the auditorium, it kind of looks like a camouflage on this small sample, but as you piece it together, this bigger pieces, it has a repeating theme, and it's a beautiful little design that's woven into the carpet. We're going to have some new chairs that will match the carpet, match the new color of the walls that's going to be taken care of. This picture here, Devon Major has put this all together to help us get a good idea of what it's going to look like inside the auditorium as we get the ceiling done and fixed and safe and new lighting brought in there. So this will be out in the lobby. I want you to take a look at that. Hopefully this will give you a good idea of what is to come. I want to say thank you to our congregation. As we shared a couple weeks ago, God has really led us in a very unique way. We were given this very large bill, no, not a bill because we didn't sign off on it, but an expense of the possibilities of all that renovation. And over time, and man, it's been a challenging year, but over time, God has brought that cost down to a third of what was originally given to us. And that was just powerful. Over the last few months, we've had to pull the trigger on some of these early projects, and that has cut down the cost. Several members have already contributed a great portion of things, and so when we started with this large number, God cut it down to about a third of that, and now because of things that we've already been able to pay, things that people have already given as contribution, now that is a third. A third of a third is a pretty small deal, and so we're looking for about $30,000. Well, I don't know what our current estimate is or our current contribution is, but I know that many of you have already given several thousand dollars towards making this project happen. And I'm excited about this. Even though we are coming to the end of a very difficult year, I can see this congregation responding and appreciating this opportunity for us to be able to move back in there. And that will just open up. As we get more opportunities to meet, if we have two different venues, we'll be able to do a few other things for our congregation as maybe 2021. Might look a little bit different, a little bit brighter for us. And so I'm excited about that. Luke chapter 1. I want us to look at this story together. I want us to see something significant about how God speaks. Listen to this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and her name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Pause right there, and just for a moment, I want us to think about the significance of really what this scene is. I want us to be able to understand and picture ourselves, because sometimes the way that we interpret, sometimes the way that we interact with Scripture is very good. It's very vibrant. Sometimes it's very distant. It's very cold. Sometimes we place ourselves right in the middle of the story, and we put ourselves in a place that we don't really need to be. I like this graphic of David and Goliath, and sometimes we put ourselves right there. And we like to pretend that it was our strength, it was our might that was going to bring down our Goliath. Well, the story is of God, through David, delivering the Israelites. And that's not you in that story, and that's not you in this story. This is not an angel coming to your doorstep to proclaim this great message of an opportunity to bring the Son of God into this world. There's a variety of ways that we can look at Scripture and try to understand. One way that many ministers use is a technical term that's called exegesis. So we look at the culture, we look at the words, the way things are written, the things that were going on in history at that time, the way that illustrations were being used and the examples of how that was happening, the way that they put their sentences together, the way that they lived their life, and we try to understand what they were saying at that time so then it would apply to our current situation. There's also a style called eisegesis, where we take these words from Scripture or from an ancient text, and we directly apply them into our lives, maybe without concern or without regard to what is happening. Maybe you're familiar with the passage in Philippians 4:13 that says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And we might encourage one another in a difficult moment. It doesn't matter what Paul was writing to the Philippians per se, but we just take that word or that phrase and we apply it right now into our lives. Or maybe it's that scene of Joshua where he's talking to the Israelites and he says, "Today, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we might share that with a young couple as they're getting married or they're setting sail into a new direction. "As for me and my house," and we don't really grab hold of the whole cultural concept or the key words there and bring the full meaning, but it applies into our lives. There's a third way of looking at Scripture, and it's this narcissism. It's this way of placing myself right into the story, that what's happening is really me interacting with this, and that is a terrible way for us to really look at Scripture. And I don't want us to put ourselves in Mary's seat too much today, but I want Scripture to apply to us. Scripture is meaningful and powerful, isn't it? And it means something into our lives, even though we are not the characters in this story. This morning, I hope you will see some things that Mary says or that is said to Mary that will apply to your life, that will make a difference in your world, that will be valuable and significant, that this Jesus who was a gift 2,000 years ago continues to be a gift even in this world and this time today. The things that were said then are valuable and meaningful even in this setting as well. And so as this story continues on, listen to what is shared. Starting in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Of course she was greatly troubled. This is an angel. This is not a unique setting. This is a very special moment. This angel comes into her world. This spiritual being is in her presence and in her line of sight. Not only is this spiritual being there, this spiritual being is interacting and discussing and talking, and she can hear this being said to her. Not only is there a spiritual being, and the spiritual being is interacting and talking to her, but the spiritual being is praising her. "You are highly favored. You are someone significant." And it is astonishing and challenging to her world. And so Scripture gives us this very simple phrase of greatly troubled at his words and wonder what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. I want you to notice something significant that Mary is about to say. As we talk about this situation of the Lord, the Lord's situation that he is constructing, that he's all putting together, that Mary is now going to use these words here in verse 34. She says, "How can this be?" Mary asks. She responds back to this angel as he has just declared, "You are going to be with child. This child will be the Son of God. This child will have a throne that will never fail." And Mary's response is, "How can this be? For I am just a virgin." Her words give faith and doubt and belief and the struggle to put two and two together, to really live by faith, to understand all that's going on. And I wonder, in our context, how many of us, if we were to raise our hands, if we were really to interact with one another this morning, that we would be able to say the same thing. God, how can this be? How can something good come out of 2020? How can we make our ends meet? How can we be able to supply all the things that we need to do in this environment? How are we going to make it through this difficult moment of our life or our family's life? How are we going to make it through? How can this be? And if we really were transparent, truthful, had the time to be with one another, we might ask those same question back to God. How can this be? Verse 35, the angel answers, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of His Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born. He will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." And Mary responds in verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left. This morning, I want us to see something very powerful and significant in the story of this gift of Christ, the Son of God, here on earth, throughout time, and the blessing of what that really means in our lives. I want to share with you a couple things that really stand out. As the angel is speaking to Mary, I want you to notice the words of God's servant, of how he empowers Mary and you, or me, to be able to understand, to be able to handle a situation that is so beyond our understanding. It is in a realm of faith. It is challenging to us. We don't see how all the pieces are there, but yet we are being called to walk this new way. I want you to notice that the angel first speaks to Mary. As she says, "How can this be?" He responds back and he says, "The Holy Spirit." He proclaims that God's Spirit, we know about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of creation, we know that God's Spirit was there. God's Spirit is a gift, Acts 2:38, for those who are faithfully following Christ, even through baptism, it is a gift. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that same Spirit was in Christ that empowered him, that brought him back to life, is now a gift in you. And you are strengthened and you are made by that Holy Spirit. Mary hears these words, "How can this be?" And the angel responds by helping her to see and to understand that God's Spirit is alive and powerful even in this moment. The angel speaks to Mary as she questions, "How can this be?" And he says, "Look at your relative Elizabeth. I want you to notice her." The Hebrew writer in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Look, we have this great cloud of witnesses around us. As you struggle with the challenges in your life, as you struggle with the difficult moments of your day-to-day, or the situations of your health or your future or your faith or your family, whatever the situations is," the Hebrew writer says, "Look at this great cloud of witnesses that is surrounding us." That's brothers and sisters that are around us, that are brothers and sisters that have gone on before us. And when you wonder, how am I going to make it? You think back to brother so-and-so, who was a part of the church where you first came to know the Lord. Or sister so-and-so, who would visit your house with an apple pie and a sweet word of encouragement and showed and demonstrated what faith was like. Here's the angel of the Lord speaking to Mary and says, you want to know how this is going to work? Look at Elizabeth. She is beyond the childbearing age, but yet now she is in the sixth month with child. You want to understand how this is going to work? Number one, the Holy Spirit is here. God is at work. Number two, look around you. God is already demonstrating how this is going to work. And when we find ourselves struggling, we see also that those that are around us are great. And then third, this angel speaks great truth to Mary. And he finishes his talk here as he says to Mary, "For no word from God will ever fail." I want us to understand what that really means in our lives. Because there's times, aren't there, that we doubt, that we don't believe, that we don't see how this is all supposed to connect. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I'm capable enough. And we will put all of the pressure on us. We will miss the Holy Spirit. I don't know how this is going to work. And we will forget about the great cloud of witness around us. But then at the last moment, maybe, our mind comes back to God's Word. And we are reminded that His Word will never fail. We know that God's church will not be conquered, that the gates of hell will not prevail over the church. But there's times in which our world seems so sinful, so mighty, so powerful, that the military, the economics, the situations around us bring us to a place where we want to just retreat and hole up. But the Word of God will never fail. Brothers and sisters, maybe there's not an angel at our doorstep, but this word is still true, that the Spirit of God is living in you, who are faithful, who are obedient, who are in a right relationship with God, who have confessed, who have been baptized, who are accepting this gift from the Holy Spirit, who are living with the understanding that there are those that are around us that are helpful and valuable. Those that have passed on will remind us and cheer us on, and yet we can still press on knowing that God's Word will never fail. Mary has a lot that we should take hold of. And when she grabs hold of what the angel says, she responds in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." I am the Lord's servant. Real quick, I want to grab four main points from this. I want you to hear them and process through them this week. I am the Lord's servant. First, I want you to understand that she recognizes she's a servant. I want us to grab hold of that concept and put ourselves in the right place, that there is a Lord of Lords, there is a King of Kings, there is someone above me, and His will is greater, His knowledge is far beyond mine, and I place myself as a servant to the Lord. We accept that great position. I know that who I am, my sin has separated me from God, but by the grace of God, by the gift of Jesus Christ, He has made a way. While I was still an enemy of the cross, God sought me out. And this is a powerful message for us as well. Number two, I am the Lord's. It's not just I'm a servant, I'm some lowly place, but I have been adopted into God's family. God is looking out for me. He is taking care of me. He is watching over me. It is the Lord of Lords who I serve, and therefore there is great honor and there is great position within that God is in control. I yield my control to God's Spirit, to God's Word, to God's people, to God's mission. I am the Lord's. I change my mind from being all about myself to being all about Him. Isn't that the struggle? Isn't that the challenge that we go through day after day and week after week? Isn't that why we gather together? But we see that God is mighty and powerful, and He leads us even through those dark moments. I'm reminded of the story of Jim Lovell. He was a naval pilot at the time, later becomes the pilot of the famed Apollo 13. movie was made and Tom Hanks gets to play Jim's part. But when he was a naval pilot, he was coming back from a mission late at night, and his instrument panel goes out. All the lights in the cockpit go out. He's unable to determine his heading, the direction that he needs to go. He doesn't have any way to connect or communicate. And in the darkness, knowing that it'd be easy to veer off course, to miss the ship, in the darkness it would be easy to change your altitude and either fly right over or fly right into. Jim prays for God to lead and guide him. And as he finishes that prayer, he says, "I opened my eyes, and in the darkness I saw this faint green trail of algae and bioluminescence coming up in the sea as the ship had churned up the water, and it was a trail leading right to the landing deck." The way that God works in our lives, even in the dark moments, God is with us, and we are the Lord's, and it reminds us that we are valuable, that God cares about what we say and do, how we live our lives, that there's a purpose and there's a plan for who we are. God is a God who brings things together that are beyond our understanding. And sometimes we feel like we are overcome. Sometimes we feel like we are overwhelmed. We are reminded of the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha wakes up and he sees that the king of Aram has surrounded his home. And his servant is petrified. And Elisha prays that his eyes would be opened and he sees not just the king and his army around, but that God's army, an army of angels, now surrounds them. We are believers who understand that God is with us. Amen? And even in the difficult moments, while we don't understand how all this is going to work out, how can this be? We understand that God will make a way that maybe even is hidden from our understanding. And so we now see. We too have a gift in this life. If only our gift is to repeat, to share this message that we now know about the great Son of God, Jesus Christ. Our gift is to share this. But the truth is really that that's not the only gift that we have. That God has empowered us and enabled us with a variety of gifts and talents that will bless this world. And so I want you to remember that we are servants. We are the Lord's. We are valuable, and God sees value and purpose in us. And we have a gift, and that gift is worth sharing. So today I want to finish with this. That I can repeat Mary's words by saying that I am the Lord's servant. As I started, I will conclude. I envision a moment this week of quiet solitude in which you will be reminded of this great story. You will hear the angel's words once again, and your response will be like Mary's. I am the Lord's servant. I envision a setting in which you're gathered around the table, you're in a living room, you're talking and discussing with others, and you will share those words, I am the Lord's servant. Today, I want us to grab hold of this great, precious gift of Jesus Christ. The Spirit that lives in us as Christ followers, as baptized believers, that empowers us to live in a way that is different from the rest of the world, to speak in a way that is different from the rest of the world. And we grab hold of this. I am the Lord's servant. This morning, if that phrase rings untrue to you, if that doesn't fit with your life and your lifestyle, our office is open and we would love to pray and counsel with you. Our elders are standing by and they would love to talk with you, to teach you, to share with you, to pray with you as well. So that we don't leave this place, we don't miss this opportunity to walk away confused or separated from God. I am the Lord's servant. With that in mind, let's stand together. Let's encourage each other with this song and let's worship our Heavenly Father.
Take my life, may